Welcome to After Hours on a Thursday. How's everybody? Yes, we're a little bit late, but that's okay. Pretty normal for a Thursday night. But we're here now, live on the YouTubuses and simulcast over on Gun Channels. Let me grab the link for Gun Channels. Give a shout out to Gizzard, Snob, Mr. White, hanging out over that way. And drop that Gun Channels link here on the YouTube side for everybody. Yeah, go check that out. Much cooler place to hang out with all sorts of content and chats and live shows and videos and just about anything you could think of as far as the Firearm and Second Amendment community over that way. So, you ought to know by now. But if you don't, there it is. Also, while I'm throwing out stuff, I'll throw out some stuff here. Let me throw out the website, throw out clovertac.com real quick. And, just mentioned I've been doing some work over that way. But hopefully, I don't know, over the next couple of weeks or so, by the time we actually get to Tulsa anyway, hopefully the website's where I want it to be. Looking the way I want it to be, all of that, trying to make it a little easier to navigate for, you know, the coupon codes and the affiliate links and the swag store and then, you know, getting to the various platforms. That's been my main focus for the site is, you know, just distribution for the platforms because, you know, you may be listening on the YouTube side here, but you may prefer some other type of platform, right? And that's why we mentioned gunchannels.com because, you know, YouTube went down when? Yesterday or day before yesterday or whenever it was. And you never know. You never know what can happen. So it's always good to have those backups at any rate. So, yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about Tulsa, Wanamaker Tulsa Arms Show coming up in November. Also, J.M. Davis. Interesting to hear from G. I know he has went to a Colt museum, something about some Colt guns or something like that. That's up that way as well. So we're just kind of war game and want to bring everybody in on that to kind of get everybody out there familiar because I'm sure we'll go live while we're there. I'm sure you'll see content coming out from there. And some of that potentially you can have some you can have some input on if you kind of have a rough idea of what our plans are as far as turning that trip into content for everybody out there. So we'll run it through the panel here, and then we'll get started talking about a bunch of different things. Snob is with us. What's happening, Snob?
Not much. Just hanging out. Going to talk Tulsa, where I was earlier today.
There you go. Yeah, you're not that far away, so easy peasy for you. Mr. Rich, how's it going?
Doing all right. Been getting over whatever it was that was dragging me down for the last week and a half, so that's a good thing. So, yep, that's about it.
Man, I've been fighting something for a while now. We had a couple of cold fronts come through, and I'm loving the temperatures and everything, don't get me wrong, but temperature swings and stuff like that, it always cause you to get sick, seems like, or sick-ish anyway. Sick light maybe is the phrase for it. G-Webs is out there, but what's going on, man?
Not much, thanks for the invite.
You bet. And Ghost is in here with us too. All right, buddy.
You know, and in honor of the nerd chat, I'm rocking my Commodore 64 attached to my 13-inch black and white TV. So I'm a little upset it doesn't get YouTube on it. I'm just trying to figure out how to get on the internet.
Black and white, not monochrome.
Exactly. G-Wet says he has a AOL floppy disk if you need to borrow it.
Oh, well, I don't know if the Commodore 64 accepts floppy disk.
Three hours.
Does anybody here on the panel have ever had any experience, remember ever having experience with the, and I'm trying to think now, but that big floppy disk, like the 8.5 inch? No, not 5 1/4. I'm talking about like 8.5 inch or something.
Yeah.
You're too old for me.
It's the size of a record. I mean, it's crazy.
They're like the ones that are about the size of the old laser discs.
It's pretty close. I don't remember. I'd have to look at it now.
When I was a kid, my dad was a computer guy, and I would go in and, you know, whatever, when the computer rooms were giant rooms with air conditioning and the reel-to-reels and all that. And that's when they used those. That was like the thing too. Like, this isn't a giant reel-to-reel tape. This is like a cartridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think they were laser discs inside of some kind of a plastic.
The ones I'm talking about were in a hospital server. I did some work back when this was like the late 90s, and we're talking about some hospital equipment, probably from like the 80s, that a business had acquired like through an auction or something. And I went there and had to do some work, ended up being some hardware issues, but, yeah, their stuff ran, and it was literally a floppy disk, like the 5 1/4s, you know, the real soft, flimsy floppy disks. But they were like 8.5 inch or something wide. And they may have even been wider than that. I can't remember, but they were pretty big. It was crazy. 'Cause at the time I was familiar with 5 1/4. I was familiar obviously with 3.5s, but, I was like, what the crap is this? This is insane.
I wonder if they were backing it up on microfiche or something.
It was likely probably reel to reel or something.
Nice.
I would think in those days that they were using tape. I'm sure tape backup in some form or fashion has been around for a very long time. So, slow as all get out. It works fine. It's just very, very slow. David Boland's got a question out there real quick. And anybody on the panel, I guess, can jump in. I'll throw my 2 cents. He said, question, does Walmart sell good American flags? American made is a must. The two Walmarts closest to me, the flags they sell, I would not necessarily classify them as good. If you observe flag etiquette, and they're not up in real high wind, you know, and, you know, especially not in the weather getting wet and then the sun shining and drying them out, that sort of thing. They're not bad, but they are American made. There's no Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean, whatever knockoff flags made in Mexico. I've seen that too. Here, as far as the best flag I've ever owned, I got it through, and it was a little pricey, but I got it through Woodmen of the World. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that organization or not, but I contacted them. Somebody had told me, and I can't remember who it was now, but somebody had told me, they're like, oh, if you want a really good flag, you know, of course the money helps them out too. And all that good stuff. And with their, cause they, I don't know other places, but I know around here, their banquet halls and stuff like that. You know, community service projects and things like that, they'll allow people to use them pretty much for free. And they're like, yeah, you know, it helps out with that and everything. And that flag lasted. Matter of fact, I'm looking across the room at it now. It's folded up. It either needs to be repaired or retired, one of the two. But it's pushing probably 12 years old. Been repaired a couple of times. I think flags are kind of cool when they're repaired. I think they kind of have some character to them. It's got a couple of little spots in it that have been repaired. Other than that, it's held up well. Real heavyweight flag too. Anybody else thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean the Walmart flags here are the 3x5, I guess, are the typical size that they sell at Walmart, at least here. They're made in the USA, and they're, you know, they're the synthetic stuff, but, you know, they'll last you. If you get a year out of them, you'll be probably pretty safe to get a year out of them. But the best flag I ever had, and if you ever have a chance or opportunity or know someone that could, the best flag I ever had was on base, the PX. Mm-hmm. And obviously they're American made, and actually the government would probably try even use veteran owned companies to do that. But they're a little bit heavier duty because they're meant to be flown there on base. So they're a little bit, mm-hmm. I think they're 5x7. They're a bit bigger, but they're very, very good quality. So if you ever know anyone that can get on a PX on base, that's where I'd get them.
That's probably the same flags that I'm talking about.
It very well could be. Yeah, 5x7.
Because you said that, and I got to thinking that most of your municipalities, governments, stuff like that, like the ones that fly at your state capitals and stuff like that, they're also the same flag. They're that heavy duty, you know. And a lot of times, I remember we used to do when we would do field trips back in the day to the capital here down to Austin, they would, a congressman or whatever would give us a flag, right, for the classroom that flew over the capital. And it'd be in the little triangle wood case, you know, or whatever, that sort of thing to go in the classroom. And I can remember that. And yeah, I remember them being good quality flags for sure. So, yeah. There we go. Let's
flags, just like there's different coats and there's different boots, right? So there's flags for ceremonies and there's flags for what you're talking about. For like dedications or whatever, like that they know are going to be folded. Mm-hmm. They're only ever going to be unfolded for a ceremonial issue and then a moment and then put away, folded again. And then like a flag that goes on a flagpole for like a parade is going to be a different flag, right? That's got the gold on it around the edges. Flags for vehicles are different. Flags for boats are different. So yeah, depending on what you're going to do with your flag, then it's going to be different materials and everything. Flag code doesn't say anything about repairing them, but it does say that once they're beyond repair, they need to be retired. General rule of thumb is if it's a tear and it can be sewn back together, then that's a repair. If it's missing material, it needs to be retired. You don't put patches on a flag, in other words. That's just a general rule of thumb. There's nothing in the flag code other than beyond repair. So it's sort of, it's a code, not a law. So people do what they want.
Yeah, well,
he was saying he was going to give them away, which I think is a cool idea.
Yeah. We wouldn't have flags from like the Alamo and places if they did, like if somebody didn't patch them and repair them and keep them. So there's obviously times and circumstances for everything. And since we don't know what's going to happen in the future, I'd hesitate to say like never repair a flag, but.
Right. Well, I didn't know, at the time. It's like I said, repaired. And I mean, you can tell because the fabric, the little part that's been replaced, the patch or whatever, so it's going to be a different shade, obviously, that sort of thing. But, I never really knew that there was any kind of taboo around that. I knew that,
depends on a person's relationship with our flag. So, talk to a veteran and they may have, a veteran of a battle or something like where things or something's really significant, symbolic or significant, right? Some people are going to have different opinions of it. Somebody's family member could be something happened or some significance, and they'll have a relationship with the flag that's different. So, sure. I mean, it's a code. So all there is civil discussion about it. Because again, we wouldn't even have historic flags if we abided by the code 100%, because all these flags get burned all the time.
Well, and it used to be, you think about all the flags that's flown all over the forts out west, or caravans, here, there, yonder, or whatever, right? And back then, to make a flag was a big deal. So if it was in disrepair, most of the time, just like anything else back in that day, repair was the first option.
Oh yeah, and the flag code didn't exist until like yesterday. It's
fairly right. I guess people just didn't.
But it was mainly because there was sort of haphazard all over the place, people doing whatever. And then by the time you let that happen too much, then all of a sudden the flags look like polka dots, and they're.
Right.
Makes different patterns, so you got to have consistency.
But I've seen a lot of reenactment stuff that was that way too.
Well, there was no flag back in the day.
Now that we've had this discussion, it makes me wonder if, it already being patched a couple of times, if maybe I shouldn't find a reenactment group and seeing if maybe one of them wanted it for reenactment purposes. So that may be a better use for it than retiring it.
The problem is the number of stars. They probably want it with the...
That's true. It's gonna be 50 stars. So yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know of any modern reenactment where they would have a tattered flag or a repaired flag. So yeah, that's a valid point.
But as far as getting flags, you always want to, Clay, think that said it on the gun channel side. Always just make sure it says Made in USA. I don't buy them if they're not folded right, because but what WTF, folded right. And then if you buy one that's made for an actual outdoor use, like you're saying, that's usually the nylon. Every piece is a separate piece of nylon with edging, and then it's sewed together with for like a boat, like it's sewn together well with like really strong threads. Mm-hmm. That's called, it's all right. And each star will be better than a regular flag, as opposed to just something that's like silk screened. Those are the kind that they're typically gonna, hang on a wall or hang on the top of some place, so all you got to do is see it. They don't bother putting all the effort into the stars and stuff. But if you're going to be presenting it to somebody, you start paying for like having the stars actually sewn on there, not just silk screened on.
Right. Awesome. Okay. Now that we've mansplained the whole flag situation to everybody out there, hopefully.
I just had one point on this too. If your flag were to get a rip in it or something, take it down to get it repaired. I don't know about you guys or G-Web, maybe you, but when we go by like a post office or a school or a bank or something, and they got the flag flying out front and there's like 3-4 tears in the flag, that just annoys the hell out of me.
I've literally stopped places, taken a flag down, folded it, and then put it like in their mailbox or something like that.
I've actually taken one down, folded it up, put it by their front door, gone to Walmart, got another flag and put it up for them at night. They came in the next morning, had a new flag. They didn't even realize it until they saw the old one.
Yeah. No telling when they actually realized it. If they,
exactly. Please take your flag down if it's raining. And also that drives me nuts. Take the flag down if it's raining.
Those are opportunities to show respect. I mean, that's the whole point, is that you're doing it because you respect the thing. So those are opportunities to have a little time with your flag and what it means to you. And if you just let it, ignore it, and let it do like you guys are saying, then that's a reflection on your time that you're willing to give to it.
Right. We drove by a place here, I don't know, a couple months ago maybe. And I know this flag was horrible. I mean, it was in several pieces, right? Flopping around up there. So I just real quickly jotted down in the notes on my phone the name of the place so that way I could remember. And couldn't stop because it had fencing and gate and all up. So there's no way I could have gotten into it anyway. But I did send him an email, just, very polite, and said, just want to, drove by the other day and was a little bit disheartened, seeing the condition of the flag up there. And, just wanted, didn't know if you were aware or not, but, you may want to consider replacing it, whatever. And didn't think any more about it. And then a few weeks after that, drove by there and there was a new flag up. So, it presents a good opportunity to remind people. Sometimes people just throw the flag up and they forget, that does happen.
There's those little cards that people give, like that say, you've lost my patronage and I'm going to tell my gun carrying friends that you put this sign up for no reason. And you're denying business to a bunch of people that are law abiding and all that.
Right.
Or then they make cards that say, thank you for having, the guns are welcome sign here. We appreciate it. Maybe do something like that, make up one of these, cheap sets of business cards and have it say something like, your flag's a little torn. If you'd like, there's lots of places in town that sell them that are made in USA for under 10 bucks, or maybe it's under 30 bucks now. And people in town would probably appreciate it. Or people, there's lots of people that would appreciate it if you put up a new flag. Something just worded nicely that, or maybe put them in touch with like a VFW hall or a scout troop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Are scouts allowed to like the flag still? I think they are.
Allowed to do what? Oh, like to play? As far as I'm aware, yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's an issue yet.
Yeah, there was a story not that long ago on Fox News about this Eagle Scout that was, they had this big ceremony where he was doing the proper flag burning. So, yeah, they still do that with the Scouts as far as I know.
Okay, awesome. So, moving on now, I guess we can. Yeah, we've been talking about it for a while, but the Tulsa trip here is just around the corner. So I know I have my game plan as far as I know. Ghost and Snob here should be making it. D-Web most likely. So just wanted to kind of war game some things. So if you're out there and you're listening. And, you know, you've got thoughts on, you know, things that you'd like to see, maybe approaching the, you know, the gun show, the museums, whatever, from a different perspective, that sort of thing. By all means, throw them out there and, you know, let's bounce some ideas around and just kind of talk about that. I want to bring UNG because you had mentioned a museum. I think you said it was about an hour away from Tulsa. That we haven't been to yet. So what's the story with that one?
I haven't been there either, but Snob knows. Okay. Is it an hour? Is that right?
It's probably 45 minutes to an hour, yeah.
Okay, so with traffic and because that hotel is on the south side of the town anyway, we're talking probably an hour. Kind of
15 probably from there.
Okay, so if the hotel is the bottom of the letter V and the J.M. Davis Museum is the one to the right side, the east side of the letter V. Think of it like going the other way past where we went to the range to go shooting, like basically right at, you know, the letter V, go up to the left, go south or northwest of Tulsa, and like an hour or something that way, depending on traffic, I guess. I'm assuming once we get out of town, it's just a amount of time on the highway. But anyway, that means carpooling up there. And what is it? Some sort of like guys, is it a guy? It's a reservation, an Indian reservation.
No, it was Frank Phillips Ranch.
So it was a guy's collection, and it's like, but it's more than the guns. It's like some art.
Oh yeah, it's like stuff. A whole like. I mean, it's a ranch originally. They have a bunch of animals and stuff like that, and some other stuff.
So it's an attraction, and it's basically a guy's collection. But from what I understand, it's a very complete. Interesting collection of Colts.
Yeah. Me. Switch. Maybe. All right. So Tulsa is here. It is going to be right about here somewhere.
So that gives us no idea of scale or anything, but
yeah. It's the best I can do.
Well, I hear you, but we don't know what we're looking at there. We,
yeah. Well, Bartlesville is an hour north of Tulsa, and it's over this way.
Point at the J.M. Davis Museum. That gives us some.
J.M. Davis is at Claremore, which is here.
So it's much further north and then west. So it's maybe 3-4 times farther than going to J.M. Davis. So that's a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. Is it worth a whole bunch of people devoting that much time? Have you been to it before?
I've been to it several times, but I don't remember the Colt collection. I just don't remember it. It's been years since I've been there, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's open ahead. I could try to, since I have more flexibility with time, I could potentially go there before and then recon it and tell you guys if it's worth your time going up.
And you know, my wife doesn't work, and we live literally an hour from it. You know, maybe she could go do that one day.
Oh. It's tough for somebody to decide for everybody else if it's worth their cameras. You know, I mean, I don't want to put that on her. And plus, that's an hour drive. If I'm going out there, it's on the way for me to go there. It's just going north a little bit. And I don't know. So I'm going to suggest, though, that it's not something we have to put into the schedule unless you guys are that interested in seeing a Colt collection.
Right.
Because it just seems like a heck of a lot of time. I mean, if we're talking 2-3 hours of just driving, that's a lot of time where we could be doing something valuable or resting or eating or something.
You know, and there's an awful lot of Colts at J.M. Davis. So you know, if you're talking about the firearms themselves, you know, if that's really all you're going for.
This is different. This is a massive early collection of like most expensive Colts. So it's more polished, fancy stuff, you know, like seeing that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll put the link to the website in the side chat there. You can look at it and see what you think whenever you get time.
That could be cool for sure. Yeah, let me bring.
But I mean, if it's like a little room of them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or if it's like a thing that takes 2 hours to look at, you know, it's, there's a big difference.
Right.
Colt Firearms. It's on the Museum and Art tab.
Yeah.
Museum and Art.
Halfway down, there's a blurb about it. The Wolf Famous Collection featuring the Phillips, so the guy from Phillips Petroleum, it's his collection.
Yeah.
And some other guy's collection. So it's three world-class collections of Colt firearms. Chronicles the Colt story from the rare and exotic Patterson revolvers through the Army and Navy, both sides of the war between the states, guns carried by pioneers. Wilson collection features semi-automatic pistols based on designs of Browning. And, I mean, it looks like one big room, but who knows what, you know. What
and here's the only picture I could find of it.
Well, those are 2-foot by 2-foot tiles. So, and, you know, it's one room, of course. But
they show, like, history of the airplanes, and they got one picture of an airplane. So, I mean, they're not trying to give you, like, a representation of what's actually there. They're just showing you, like, that little sample.
Well, but you can see in those cases, I mean, you can see the rifles and...
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's quite a few firearms there for sure.
There's, like, a little... like a mountain man camp thing and stuff. I mean, if anyone had kids, it's kind of neat. They can go throw like axes at targets and stuff. Just some neat stuff there. But
now, Double A out there throwing down $2. Says RIP, US Ed USAF. Yes, I did hear about that on the Instagrams earlier. So keep that family and all that good stuff in your thoughts out there. Sorry, Snob. Didn't mean to
jump in. Oh, you're good.
So yeah, that may be indeed something.
Whatever that guy's name is, collection into Google and then flip to images. There's pictures, but there's just the one picture of a room of guns. Two pictures of a room of guns, and it could be two different angles of the same room, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. And then it gets into art and stuff.
Well, I mean, still, it could be...
Well, what we could do is call them. I'll call them during business hours and ask them how long does a tour of the guns typically take, and they'll tell us, you know, people walk through it in an hour, or they walk through it in 4 hours, or they walk through it in 4 minutes.
And you could also ask a number on the collection, maybe, too.
Yeah. How many rooms is it? How many guns? And, yeah.
Explain to them who we are, what we're doing, and...
situation at the Cody Museum. Don't go to the Cody Museum right now. It is super boring.
Yeah, I seen the... I don't remember if that was Daily Gun Show you were talking about that, or if you did a video on it, but yeah.
We'll be talking a lot about that. That was discouraging. So we definitely want to do our preliminary. Because that's the next thing. That's going to take an entire day. And so let's talk about days. So we know that the show is basically... Saturday and Sunday, but we're talking about trying to go in Friday as well. Mm-hmm. And do a little bit of recon and get our idea of the flavor and the layout of the show on Friday. Have all day Saturday to do stuff. And then Sunday, you know, it's like, you know, we're there. And then some of you are going to have to leave on Sunday. So I don't think we're going to have a Monday at all. Mm-hmm. So we're probably talking Saturday, Sunday tied up with the show or leaving.
Right.
Friday, potentially doing a split day if people are willing to do a split day. But you know what it's like. You could easily spend all day Friday reconning the show and spend all day Saturday and still not see it all. Mm-hmm. So now are we talking everybody's going to show up on Thursday? And in order to do something on a Thursday, that means people are showing up Wednesday night. Is that in people's cards?
I wasn't planning that, but we could probably swing that, but I wasn't planning on doing that.
What about everybody else? when we also don't have cycling here. I think he's talking about flying in and going.
Yeah, he actually, I forgot if it was Patreon or somewhere. I mean, we had a back and forth conversation, and he was definitely thinking about coming down again. So,
and we know Travis is a no. Mm-hmm. And Gary is a maybe.
Gizzard is a fairly solid maybe, last I heard.
I think he said, last I heard, he said he would definitely
for the day. One day.
Yeah. For Saturday. I think he's coming down for Saturday, and so is Foose. It's just Saturday, I think.
What about Dano?
I don't know. I hadn't heard.
Yeah. Dano,
I'll be getting there Friday morning like I always do. I'll be there by 9:30 Friday morning.
So,
I'll be there all time, so
right.
Doesn't matter.
So I think you're looking at
so right there, even if we're talking now on a Thursday to go do something, right? Then now we're only talking a couple of us, and that's a whole different thing. Because now if a couple of us are driving somewhere for 2 hours, that's effective. I was thinking, you know, two or three cars, that's just a bunch of conversations, and anybody can have a conversation anytime. But you know, so that's like a waste of everybody being in the same place. But if no one is, if it's not everybody, if it's just two people, then who cares if you drive 2 hours? Because I don't know. How many times have you been to JM Davis now? Two?
Two, I guess. Yeah.
Well, filming at least. So, you know what I mean? Like, they're obviously, I keep going. I don't know how many times I've been there anymore, and I keep going, and I find interesting shit, and I enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
100% worth it. But I'm also down for seeing this Colt collection. So, anyway, maybe we could talk about that by ourselves, since it's not a doesn't look like it's in the cards for everybody. Nobody's going to go there Saturday. I don't think it's even open on Sunday, is it?
I don't believe so. No, I don't believe so.
Saturday probably was a good day to go anyway.
Yeah, I was hoping at least maybe for an hour or so, maybe an hour and a half on Friday to slip outside of JM and go to the Will Rogers Museum just because I've never been there.
And that's like doable because that's literally
it's right there, yeah.
Street or something.
Yeah,
that's
right there.
And not have the hours.
Well, that may be, you know, that may be a plan is to take, and you know, I don't know. This is where I'm sitting on, you know, what I was thinking. You know, like I said, coming in on Wednesday instead of Thursday was that's totally up for debate with me. I'm open to that, of course, but and if I need to do that in order to get JM Davis and then the what I can't even pronounce that, but whatever it was,
Willer Rock,
yeah, to get that in on Thursday and then JM Davis and or maybe Will Rogers a little bit on Friday, then I'm okay with that. But as far as the whole recon on Friday thing, personally, I could care less.
You're not going into the show on Friday then?
I could care less about that. I mean, I'm not there to look for deals or to anything like that. I mean, I can just as easily.
Well, I thought you guys were going around and doing that on Friday and then Saturday being able to do the videos.
I was planning on doing that on Saturday and then following up on if I needed to on Sunday.
Oh, I got it shifted a day, I guess. I was thinking of
that. That was my plan. I don't know what Ghost was thinking, but that was my plan.
The only reason why I would go there on Friday night or whatever is if G needed help setting up, and I'd go help him, and then I might look around, see what vendors might be there, just kind of scouting it, but I'd go there to help G set up. That's probably the only reason why I would go.
Right.
And just throwing this out there.
If I got to find out who I know might be going too, so you know, talk to Peanut and Bob and people, and if I know people that got tables, I might be able to bring product and rent portions of their table, and not have to worry so much about having a table. Because the problem is, if I get a table next to our table, then I might as well just throw my shit in the box because nobody's gonna look at it. Nobody goes back there to buy stuff, right? So if I wanted a table to sell stuff, you know, I'd need to be out on an end cap or out in the midst of everything, mm-hmm. and that doesn't lend itself to being next to us, right next to the gun chesting.
Up against that wall was a much better spot than where we were the previous time.
Well, I also like because there was room out in front to stage stuff or hang out, and it's also right next to the restroom. That helped as well because are always going to be walking by there, you know?
We're going to just tell her, like, we'll definitely just have that because those tables are all dedicated to boring old guy collectors clubs that are, you know, delegated to the back corner there, and that's perfect for us. So, yeah, I'm sure they're going to have no problem with us setting up residence there.
Right.
And then, so one of the reasons we liked it was because we had some privacy and some quiet. So do we want to try to set up something this time or wait till next time? Or if we're going to wait till next time, there's no point in like not mocking it up or something. You guys did a live stream there with the kind of sitting at the table with the wall behind you, right?
Yeah, Travis did Caliber Corner that morning. There.
And then we had a Ghost and Clover show right there also.
Oh, I was just at all these Vegas rental ranges, right, where people from international come in and shoot firearms and stuff. So all of them have like a basically like a pattern against a wall. Like if you go to an awards thing, they'll have like a pattern against a wall, and then that's where everybody takes the pictures, and then you got branding on the back of the pictures right away. Mm-hmm. So the same way that we've got a tablecloth, we could have some kind of thing hanging on the wall behind everybody that's like maybe even says Wanamaker, you know, live at Wanamaker or something.
Oh, that's and cool. Then, yeah.
You know, that way the live stuff, we tell them, hey, that worked, that table worked out perfect. You know, the only thing is we forgot to bring electric. So this time we're going to bring electric and a shit ton of duct tape so that we can duct tape our electric cord over to our table, you know, and so that way people don't trip on, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And then now we've got a nice little studio or something set up there. And you know, when you're talking about bringing a laptop and set on the table as a kiosk, I hesitate. So I think that's a dangerous proposition. Somebody might walk off of there, just knock off the table or sit on it or something. But if you're talking a table that's like, basically we took the table from one of those collectors groups that left, right? So if we tell them, you know, could we have two tables this time? One for our crap and then one for our studio. You know, that's, I don't think that's beyond reasonable, like, because now we'd be doing some live stuff there. I guess two questions there. Do we still want a table? I really think we could use a table.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a given. I think if it comes down to it, and even if we had to, even if they needed to be monetarily compensated in some way.
Oh, no, they won't.
I don't think they will either. Not one table. Two, they might, but you know.
No, not for two tables, because I'm thinking those are dead tables to them. Nobody really wants them. And the thing is, we'd be able, if we're going to set up something live, like where I was going with that is we've had all kinds of like semi discussions on it. But think of like, you know, if we really put our effort into it, having a live thing there mm-hmm. without any kind of promise to them, like, you know, hey, give us a table in XYZ, but like, hey, give us a table and we're going to figure out so that next time when we have more turnout with creators, you know, we're figuring out the works this time around. In other words, give us two tables, we're going to set up a studio this time and we're going to get the kinks out. And then what we do is when you guys are talking on Saturday, the people who are interested in it, you say, hey, would you like to come over to our table? And we'll kick out an interview, sort of like what Ghost is doing now. So like, hey, when you're available, you give me a call and then I'm going to meet you at our table and we're going to kick out a 10-minute interview. Now you guys have a 10-minute interview and we're working the kinks out of how to get a little studio going there.
Yeah, another thing.
I like it.
Well, except for pulling them away from their booth with their product or whatever might be an issue too. Yeah.
Well, they might be able to bring a sample and do that.
Them to do that. That you're like, if they're interested and they've got the people, then they will. But you're not like, here's an ultimatum. You talk to me over there, or no way.
All right. So here's another thing you could do with that: set up where you have the live thing, and then people can actually go out as correspondents on the chat and interview somebody on the live chat while at the same time.
We're trying to get away from that because what we've encountered with that is number one, just background noise. It's super annoying. It's really tough to do audio. Like the people that do get concerned don't need to come up and talk to us to be concerned. They get right. concerned by us walking around. So if we're doing it in a corner and we bring people over who are aware of what we're doing, and the only people that are even besides ourselves that know what's going on, it's people that walk back there, much fewer situations where people are going to be like upset or concerned or worried. And, you know, none of that issue ever comes up. So I'm thinking of ways to pull them over to our area. Plus it gives us a bigger,
I get what you're saying. I was thinking more along the lines, if they're worried about leaving their table, you know, somebody could go out to them to talk to them.
No, we're talking 4,000 tables. So who cares if somebody wants to sit at his table, then we'll keep walking to one of the other 3,900 tables and find somebody who's got three people working. Most of these guys got four or five people working. They can walk away from the table. Mm-hmm. And if they can't, then we say, and we really want to talk to them and they really want to do this, we go, yeah, we'll be here after the show. Like, who's going to care if we're there for another 10 minutes or 15 minutes talking in a corner to each other? You know, after the show or on
Sunday. More importantly, it's such a madhouse. Everyone's probably going to want a 10-minute break every now and then. So they can spend their 10-minute break getting out of the chaos, come sit down, bring one of their products with them, sit down for 10 minutes and do an interview. And they just took a break from the craziness, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think with 4,000 vendors, we're going to have any. If there are issues, we just keep walking. But then realistically is probably 6 or 7 10-minute right. interviews, and 6 or 7 10-minute interviews is an hour. Or am I crazy?
Right. So what you're talking is you want to do something similar to what Legally Armed America was doing last year at SHOT Show.
No. Number one, I never want to do anything like anybody else.
He was having people come to where he was set up and was interviewing them, is what I mean.
But I'm going to still say no, I'm not doing anything like that.
Well, I mean, on the issue of the studio, my wife has a backdrop frame. So, it's got the telescoping, whatever, poles on each side and then the crossbar. And then you can clamp fabric to it or whatever.
I've also got two clamp lights that I can bring that plug in. And it sounds crazy, but having lighting on that studio would make it look nice, but it'll also attract more people. Like, what the hell's going on there? They got lights and stuff and cameras and stuff. So I can bring two of those clamp lights and that'll actually light up the place, but it'll also bring attention to us maybe a little bit more.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I've got one of those pole lights like off Amazon that extend up and then have the.
Oh, that'd be perfect. Yeah.
I can easily bring that. I mean, it's on a tripod thing that folds up anyway.
Even better. That's even better. Yeah. But that'll actually bring attention. Say, oh, man, these guys are doing a studio with lights and all that.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a professional light.
Hold on. So, number one, I understand what you're saying with lighting because of that. Number two, the more production we put in there, the more expectation there's going to be. And the more a nuisance we are. So we're going to test the waters. I would suggest minimal at first and then determine, because what if we go there and, we didn't need these lights, but we spent 45 minutes moving tables and setting shit up and borrowing electric from everybody. You know what I'm saying? I just don't like putting a bunch of effort into production until we've got something to produce. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, small laptop. And again, for the ideas behind the thing, duct tape and cloth. We've got how much room behind those tables? Plus, it's going to be full of our backpacks and shit we bought and crap that accumulates, right? So we don't have room for stuff back there.
Do we have to utilize the table, or can we take the table, fold it up, put it against the wall, and then that'll give us the 2 foot? That'll give us 2 foot more room to stand and do the interviews.
And then we also don't need a table. If we just say, hey, can we have a table and some space?
That's a table worth of space. Yeah.
But I like having two tables because if we do want the tables or we're not doing the setup right, then we've got another table to spread out to, and it keeps our shit from just being against the wall, basically. There's a barrier there.
Right.
And you can always take the table down or move it or something for the time that we need the area and then put it back.
But are you going to bring the Gun Channels banner or cloth table cover?
No way. Yeah, sitting right here, of course.
No, I was making sure you bring that. That's just one of those things that we.
I got it rolled up in the van. It doesn't even.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Cool.
So, you know, one thing, and it has to do with scouting it out and just trying stuff. But one thing that comes to my mind is we talk about the open area that we had, right? Between us and it was that big open area, and then the company that had the safes.
The safes, yeah.
What if we talk to the company that had the safes? I don't know if they have electrical or not, but what if we, that's part of the scouting opportunity. What if we talk to them, kind of let them know what we're doing? Hey, this is our third time here. This is a regular thing for us. We could set up backdrops and stuff behind those safes, even if we were going
to. With magnets. Yeah.
And hell, we can do a video for them and covering their stuff for them.
And that wouldn't even require an extra table. We could ask for two tables just to have the extra room, but then we would have our.
Let them know there. We're gonna be obnoxious in that corner, and they're not gonna care. They're gonna be like, "All right, yeah, be obnoxious in that corner." Or maybe they'll stick us somewhere else. I really wanted to be downstairs. You know where the surplus guy is? I bought that coat at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
On the south side of there, there's nothing. It's just like when they're setting up, they run trucks and shit through there, or trucks and stuff through there. So it's just nothing. And I think the one time you guys were there, they had like the when I was there, they had the NRA museum or something set up.
Yeah, you know, World War II stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I know where you're talking about. Down there by the door. By the door. Yeah. Right.
And but most of the time I go there, that's just nothing. So I kind of thought they would give us just some area back there because that would be away from the noise and everything. And it'd be like a pain in the butt for people to have to walk all the way down there. But we're literally at the other end. Like they still have to walk all the way to our end. So, anyways, I was kind of thinking if they gave us just some big area, then who cares how many tables we got? We just have
that would be really cool. Maybe they would if you asked for it, you know.
Well, I didn't ask for it. I kind of implied, I thought I was thinking of it when I asked, but then they gave us that spot and it turned out to be kind of perfect. So, I mean, I do like the idea of asking the safe guys because literally we put two magnets, the cloth, and now the backdrop is there. I mean, potentially there's like light coming through. So we put up like a tarp and, you know, then.
Because there's doors right there. Yeah. Right where the restroom, there's doors there. So there'll be some natural light coming in.
Oh, yeah. Because exactly. Well, maybe. But I've also been there when it's like really rainy and then it's not. It's kind of dark and gloomy in there. So you would definitely need light sometimes.
Right.
And then if we did it like after, so it would be dark out, you know, that's just light coming in from the sun. So, and it's dark in there. But anyway, I like the idea with safe because, yeah, maybe they say, yeah, here's a little banner and now we're helping them out. And there we can say, you know, thanks to so-and-so safe company for letting us.
Oh, heck yeah. Put a banner on the backdrop or you could even put a logo in your produced video, you know, if that's what you're doing or whatever. Yeah.
But I really like that idea of trying to wherever who came up with doing that, because like I say, just even if we were to do six amongst everybody, it would actually be better. You don't want six of just Clover, right? I mean, if you did six, fine. But if we had five people there, that's 5 10-minute videos with a little piece in between with some footage, you know, what I call it, B-roll. Mm-hmm. That's an hour-long cool thing that we can give them and say, here, if you want it, here's five different vendors and you can use it as five pieces, or somebody's crazy, they want to watch the whole thing, here it is.
Yeah.
Yep. And as far as like cords or anything like that, just, you know, once we find out I can bring them, you know, whatever, I do construction, so I got plenty of cords and stuff, whatever we need like that.
And no offense, this is going to sound bad, but it is really nice to have someone, you know, we have Nut that, yes, lives there, but it's nice to have someone there that in case something, you know, you might have something at the house if like something happens or whatever. You know your way around the town to where say, well, you can go here really quickly and pick that up or whatever, you know. So,
no, like if your truck breaks down.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
My father-in-law is a mechanic.
But speaking of that, we didn't have Nut in here. He's probably gone.
Yeah.
Does anyone know if Mr. Wright's coming up?
Oh yeah, I assumed, but I haven't heard.
Yeah, I would think so, but it, you know, there's no definite on that.
Right.
Yeah.
But if Foose comes, Foose isn't coming to do content. He's just coming to hang out and buy something. And
I thought Foose said he wasn't coming this fall. I thought he said he was working all the whole time.
Oh, is he? He might have. I don't know.
And then there's multiple people that were iffy on it, you know. I can't remember who now, but there was several from down here in Texas I know that were talking about trying to make it. I think they were going to try to make a day trip type thing out of it. you know, a long day trip. So drive up, drive back.
Snub, are you the only one that's in Oklahoma? Is there anyone else besides you in Oklahoma?
226 Nut, I guess.
Well, yeah.
And
yeah.
Big Al, but I mean, he's not really a part of Gun Channels.
Daddy with a firearm. He's original Gun Channels. And
okay, cool. He's
in Oklahoma City, I think.
There's a few others out there because, you know, they last time, well, the last couple of times, they've met up. You know what I mean? I know I've talked to people that listen or follow or, you know, that kind of stuff. But as far as, you know, that create content.
Now, what about going back to people we've already talked to and you guys have gone to it a few times? Is that something that you, for the longest time, I tried to make that a point. Like if I knew somebody at Benchmade, I would go say hello to them. Even if I wasn't doing anything, just to say hello to them. And then if I knew somebody so-and-so, because that's when you start figuring out where they went. Because people don't stay very long at a place. Usually they either stay there their whole career or they're bouncing around. And that's how you keep track of where people are. But eventually you get to a point where there's so many people that you've met that you could spend the entire time you're at a place just saying hello to people. So now I just do it sort of like a couple of people who you owe a thank you to. So you go seek them out and you say hello and everything. And then you got targets of opportunity. So then you just start to meet people as you're walking around. But
yeah.
Are you guys plan to like go meet up with your people?
Yeah, I've got four, I think, on deck that I have to. It's not that, you know, I mean, it's literally, I mean, deals in the works, you know, whatever, you know, they're helping out big time, you know, very promising, you know, relationship potentially, and we need to hammer out details, that sort of thing. So there's four that I need to do that with for sure.
So I know.
And honestly, that's worth a trip to me to get that done.
Well, no, exactly. And that's where I was going to say, you don't want to forget that or like forget that you need time for that is what I was going to get at. So, you know, that's going to give you X amount of, you know, however long that's going to take. You got that much less time, you know, that Saturday or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Dano's out there in the chat now.
Yeah, he's asking.
Oh, is he coming? Is he going?
He's asking, have we discussed a hotel? So is anything decided? We have no room block at this point. Everybody, I guess, is on their own with that. And it's so close to time that I don't know that we can get a room block.
Dano has seen the van now, so if he wants, you know, we could probably cram two people in here. That would save him some money.
I don't think Mello would like that. Just saying.
She'll sit up. Oh, she likes Dano. Yeah, so they'd be getting peanut butter all night.
Oh, okay.
You know, just a thought, though. Are you guys are both planning on going to Jam Davis, aren't you, Ghost and Clover?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Claremore just built a bunch of new motels. You might look there. You might save some money over Tulsa, and it's really not going to be no farther than from South Tulsa, really. Not much.
Anymore. Yeah, it's only about 20 minutes or so, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, yeah. And it's faster because you just whip around that Hard Rock or whatever it is, and you're there.
Yeah, you just jump on 66 to 44 and run out.
It seemed quicker to me. And I could be wrong, but it seemed quicker to me the morning that I drove last November when I drove in and left at like 4 a.m. or whenever. It seemed like I got to Claremore quicker than we got to Tulsa in April.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I guess less traffic and congestion maybe or something, but it just seemed that way.
I've got one more solid reason why you'd want to be in Claremore over stupid.
Hugo's,
the breakfast place.
Yeah, you do Ghost. Holy moly. You guys have any? Well, Ghost has been there. None of the rest of you have been there.
No, it's on the books for this trip, though.
It's definitely worth it.
Cover it in bacon.
And their hash browns are basically full baked potatoes. They just kind of smush a little bit. Unbelievable.
It's good. Like a dozen.
Clover, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
All right, so that holster company that you got a holster made it while you were at Wanamaker last year.
Right, yeah.
Can they do custom logoed stuff?
They're not going to be able to there, but I would say yes without actually knowing.
I think it'd be awesome to get like an outside the waist with my logo on there. It'd be pretty badass.
I was thinking about getting in touch with them. You know, yeah, I don't know.
I was going to see about doing it earlier, and maybe they can bring it to them. with them to Wanamaker, and I can pick it up there.
I was thinking about, I'm going to get one made for this PPQ, and I don't know what the licensing, I don't know what the agreement was, but it would be really cool to have one with like the Walther thing on it.
Right. Oh yeah. Just I bet you all you had to do is get. I bet you all you had to do is get permission and email and you know forward that to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and if not, I'll try to just get a blue color or something, you know. That.
Well, I was thinking about getting like an outside the waist for mine. I already got inside the waist, but get one with my logo on there. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, no. I'm pretty sure with the way that they're made, that's printed in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So, man, if you.
What was the name of that company? Do you remember?
The holster company?
Yeah.
It's Bullseye Holsters.
Bullseye. Okay.
Now they're Bullseye Holsters of Missouri. So
well, I'm sure you have a link on your video, don't you?
Bullseye. Yeah. Bullseye Holsters. Okay.
I'll just go look at it.
Or is the main company, and then apparently they're franchised out from there. I guess is what it is. Because yeah, right. the ones at Tulsa are Bullseye Holsters of Missouri. So if you just
I'll just go to your video.
Go to the Bullseye Holster website. They're out of like Florida or something.
Okay. I might contact them tomorrow. I'll just go to your video. I'm sure you got it on there, and I can click the link there.
Yeah, because when I was doing follow up at one time, I contacted them, and they were like, "What are you talking about?" And like, then so
yeah, we never heard of one of them.
I went over to the Facebook. You know, it was of Missouri or whatever, and he was like, "Oh yeah, you know, blah blah blah." So yeah, won't be a. I would think so. If not, there are certainly people that can do it. It can be done.
You can have that Kydex ordered with whatever logo you want on it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure if they can't do it, it could be done either way. But yeah,
I know a guy that could do it probably. But if you get the Kydex ordered,
mm-hmm. So cool.
Will that T-shirt thing print on a Kydex?
I don't know. I don't think so. It might. I don't know if it'd stand up on there.
Then you could just buy, you know, blank or tan or something and print out whatever. That'd be kind of cool.
Holding up is going to be the
uh-huh.
going to be the issue on it. The one I've got is held. Not that I'm beating it around on everything, but it's held up really, really well. So whatever they use, it almost embeds itself, I guess, almost into the Kydex.
I think it's called impregnated in it whenever you get that. I think that stuff's impregnated in it, so I don't know how they do it.
Right. Right. Oh, well, cool.
Well, one of the first things that I had on here as a thing that I think we failed at the last time for sure, mm-hmm. Just because it was so new to everybody to have so many people together, is doing any kind of like or planned ahead, like, get-togethers in the evening so that we could all recon and know about stuff. We kind of talked about it with SHOT Show also. But, you know, doing something deliberately in the evening so it wasn't, you know, it was kind of fun just having a bunch of crazy random stuff happening. But I don't know. It seems like it would be more productive if we, you know, okay, we're going to, everybody knows the show's going to end at, you know, 4 or 5, whatever time you're leaving. Whoever you're carpooling with, Ringo Eat or whatever, then we're all going to be back at like, you know, sometime 7, 8, whatever, before everybody gets tired and just, or before people start to split to go do play around and, you know, do a half an hour show or do a just even a 10 minute get together or something, do the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could have totally forgot to do a picture unless I forgot who actually said, like, hey, let's do a picture. Like, otherwise, we could have not even had a big giant picture like that.
Right.
One other thing, if, you know, anybody wants to go to World of Rock and we all decide to, I do have a Suburban. I mean, that's what my wife drives, so we can carpool in it. It'll seat 6 comfortably.
There you go. Yeah, and I can once stuff is dumped.
I can fit 4 more people in mine. Or actually, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more in mine. If I put the back seat down.
All right. There you go. So, and I think that's, we got way more.
And Gio probably drive the van because he's going to have Bella with him.
All right.
I ain't driving. What are you talking about?
Oh, Marshmallow's driving?
No, I'm not going to drive 1,700 miles or whatever it is to get there and then drive more. I'm going to pay passenger.
There you go.
Nice. There you go.
Mm-hmm. So, cool. Well, there it is. I think it's safe to say that we probably need, Rob D. out there is talking about the Kydex. He says hydro dipped, maybe. No, the one I've got is definitely not hydro dipped. Way more durable than that.
Yeah, it's a really nice. That's why I was asking, because that's a really nice one.
For sure. What was I going to say? Oh, I think that going forward, especially knowing that cycle potentially, was going to come down and some other stuff, I think it's warrants some private, chat follow up stuff for sure over the next couple of weeks, just to kind of get things hammered down. But for now, I think we're kind of done. I mean, we've kind of gone over what our game plans are. I think a lot of good ideas tonight. So really like the idea of basically a set on scene. So that's something maybe to work toward. Yeah, and I think that could be an impressive part, of the show and stuff like that. If we work up to it the right way, I think they would be really receptive to that. But let's run it through the room and then and we'll get out of here. So Snob, what do you got before we go?
Not much. Just put out a video of my kids shooting some pumpkins and I'll have a live show Saturday night, but that's about it. Thanks for having me, man.
You bet.
Is your kid's name Hickok?
No, but that's where they saw it and they got the idea from it. It was their idea.
Lord. Rich, what you got, buddy?
Got This Week Unloaded when Sunday night on Unloaded Media Channel. That's at 8 Eastern time, and that's about it here. Besides sneaking in somehow to chats like this one.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anytime you get the link, you're welcome. G-Webs, what you got on deck? Anything?
Yeah, we still need to talk about if we're going to do some sort of video thing, then maybe doing some sort of a scheduling card, sort of like what Gun Gals was talking about doing with their index card or with their business card, Mm-hmm. If we're going to be talking about having a table there with swag, I guess, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. or like branding type of stuff. We all kind of did it last time. But, with some deliberate intent, we could, bulk order and get stuff so that we've got, something elaborate there on the table, something that draws people's eyes over. And then, maybe in other words, just instead of having just a sticker, I've been noticing a lot with these museums and stuff, they call them slot cards. So when you go to like a hotel and they've got those kind of long rectangular little colorful cards racks that'll tell you about all the different attractions and things to do.
Yeah.
That's a form factor. So if you had like a sticker or a patch,
like a brochure for each channel or something, like a brochure.
Something like a brochure, but like a quicker thing, like just something that says,
it's a trifold. It's a trifold, like a trifold brochure, but it's just a single card.
Yeah, and maybe just an index card, something that's easy and quick to print. I'm just thinking a little bit of forethought. Now they're not just walking away with a sticker that might get lost in a bag and not forgotten about unless you happen to have a conversation and they really thought it was cool and they remembered. Now they've got a little card there that says, I do a podcast and you met me at the Wanamaker show November. If you want to be on Friday, give me a call. Or if you know a kid that shoots, give me a call or something like that. And then that way... like you say, we're getting up on the time, but I know Angelina can turn stuff around real quick. And if she can send it to me and I can bring it, or if she can send it to Snob and he's got it there for everybody. If we want to do a deck of cards or something again, I need to know so we can those take a couple of weeks to get them out. So, there's that kind of stuff. And then, I guess that was my last thing is it's too late for patches, but we might be able to do something like stickers or something. And
I don't know. I was also going to throw out there, I don't want to keep throwing stuff on the last thing, but I think we should have another show, because I was going to say something like a bingo or something. So if somebody does come over to our table and they go, what's all this about? We go, I tell you what, here's how we bring the internet into real life. Here's a bingo card. Go enjoy the show. And if you get bingo, come back over here for a prize or whatever. And then, you know, we come up sort of an interactive.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
And if the right person comes over and digs that, then that's the kind of people we want on panels, right? Or if we say, you know, I noticed something at Range 702, one of the full auto tourism places in Vegas. Mm-hmm. They have a really big thing to draw attention to it. If we feature or tag such and such to be featured in our feed. So if we're going to have the gun channels feed going with everybody, and that's the other thing we haven't even talked about, how we should be distributing stuff. We have the gun channels account. We could have all been using the gun channels account to repost everything we did in addition to our consistent hashtags. Mm-hmm. So we have a board, let's say a television or something that's just like, if you want to be included and you're taking pictures at the show or something, or your table is out there, but anyway, a ways to give people some interactivity with what we're doing. And like I said, I think it's worth having another show on this if you guys are down.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There needs to be more for sure. Ghost, what you got?
Got nothing. I got a couple things. Added a new page today to the website. It's called Ghost Approved Gear. I put up, 9 or 10 pieces of gear that either I have or have used in the past, or companies that are good companies and all that. So if you're looking for, pants or shirts or holsters or, optics or sights or, whatever, go check out it's just starting out. So it's going to be adding more stuff on a daily basis, but it's the Ghost Approved Gear page on the website. And the latest edition of the Armed Citizen podcast will be released on Sunday. If you're a patron, it'll be released on Saturday, and you'll get the full episode on Patreon, and then it'll be released to the public on Sunday. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, you bet. Now, Seven Wonders out there. He says, are there any other good live gun chats besides Culver Tech and Yankee? I enjoy both. I need more. Gunchannels.com. And I'll get into this in a minute. Pretty much everybody on the panel here, duh. But go to gunchannels.com. There's a schedule, and that's probably the easiest way is to check out the schedule over there. But yeah, you've got Ghost Tactical here, obviously G-Webs, Rich with the Week Unloaded, Snobs doing on his own thing. You've got Gun Gals out there. Sarge came on before this show. C4 Defense. I keep wanting to say Sarge and people can't look up Sarge, but yeah, C4 Defense. Who am I missing? Travis P11 on Saturdays with Caliber Corner, Rick's Life as I See It on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Good gracious. There's all kinds of stuff. Now, what
Night Strike does stuff sometimes.
Yeah, Night Strike does stuff sometimes. HVS does some stuff sometimes. I'm trying to think who else. You didn't mention Never Enough Ammo. I figured that was a given.
Pancake Boy.
He didn't say that. Oh, yeah. Midnight Range TM does a Sunday night. So, yeah, check out that schedule on gunchannels.com. That's probably the easiest way to kind of have most of that in one place. And then go through and then just, pick out the flavors you like, right? Try them out. If it's something you enjoy, keep coming back and sticking around for those people. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. So, with that, thanks for hanging out and being nerdy for a little while. I know we nerded the first half of the show completely on flag etiquette, it seemed like, but that's okay. That's an important topic that people need to be aware of. And we are gone until tomorrow night for Firearm Friday. That happens at 10 Eastern. We'll see you then. Bye.